listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I absolutely love that song. It's one of my favourites. There's so many scriptural truths in that it gets me going, and I love your response there, Tara. Awesome. Big welcome to everyone. I had my welcome, and I had a special welcome to someone in the second back row. Welcome back, Effie. It's evidence that she hasn't backslidden. she came back early, and you're pointing. Ah! No, you're not that small, Bill. You cannot hide there. Big welcome, Bill, and to any other visitors. I just hope and pray that God's Holy Spirit will just say something to you. I've been given the subject today of talking about listening, and I thought, well, how on earth do I link that into Mother's Day? So I thought a joke would be a good way to start. Sorry, Ron, I know that you've got a little monopoly on jokes, but this is a good one, and if you've heard it before, I apologise. A husband went to the doctor, and sorry, Bill, you've heard this recently. The husband went to the doctor and said, I've got a real, real problem. I think my wife is losing her hearing, and I'm really concerned about it, but she won't recognise that she has a problem. And the doctor said, well, that's okay, just go there next time you're with her in the other room and just ask her if she'd like a cup of coffee or cup of tea. And if she responds, you know that she's okay. If she doesn't respond, you'll need to say just a little bit louder until you get a response. So he goes back home and they're sitting down and he says, hun, do you want a cup of tea? Zero response. A little while later, he says, honey, do you want a cup of tea? Zero response. Third time, he says, honey, do you want a cup of tea? And he hears from the other room, for the third time, yes. Listening is such a complex issue. It's a complex issue. And I want to share a few thoughts on communication theory. Who has done any sort of learning around listening in any of their lives around the place? Actual listening, how to listen properly. Okay, some. Yeah. It is something that is not taught. So I'm going to spend a few minutes, very shortly, about what the communication theory is, and then we'll get into some actual examples. But if we can start the process, thanks. Jeremiah, I think, is at the back. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak and slow to anger. And I love the fact over the years I've spoken often about Dr. Stephen Covey and his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of his central key points in these habits is seek first to understand before seeking to be understood. If we can do that on a regular basis, we will have solved most of the communication issues. But all too often, we are too busy preparing our answer before the other person has actually explained fully what they want to say. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Is this working? Yeah, no. Perhaps, yep, thanks, Jeremiah. One of the great theologians, Lutheran theologians, who resisted the Nazis and was ultimately killed for his faith. Our inability to listen well to others may be indicative of a chatty spirit that is also drowning out the voice of God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer warns, he who can no longer listen to his brother will soon be no longer listening to God either. He will be doing nothing but prattle in the presence of God too. This is the beginning of the death of the spiritual life. Anyone who thinks that his time is too valuable to spend keeping quiet will eventually have no time for God and his brother. but only for himself and for his own follies. It's a beautiful, beautiful concept that, you know, if all we want to do is talk about our issues, we've blocked out any relevance about what other people's issues are. How can we minister to another person if we don't truly understand what's going on? If we only want to download into their lives what we're experiencing, can you imagine if all mums did was go to the kids and their husbands and say, do this. Why? Because. Do this. Because. It just doesn't happen. There needs to be a two-way communication. And I'm going to get into the communication theory right now, and just notice the letters in red. It'll end up being a horrible mess. It'll start off being a horrible mess. But as you see, when I unpack it, there's strong elements that we will be able to relate to what we actually do. Okay. That's the communication theory. Now, if you try and understand that, good luck to you. You won't. So let's unpack it little by little. You must have a sender and a receiver. Just posting something on Facebook is not communication until someone has read it. You need a sender and you need a receiver. You don't pick up the phone and talk to no one, you talk to someone. As well as having a sender and a receiver, you have to have a message. And that message can be verbally, can be in writing, it can be over the waves on TV, it can be anywhere you like, but there's a message that you want to communicate, and the advertising gurus are very good at this. Their message totally dominates the environment that they want to portray. So the message is critical. And here's the tricky bit. The sender encodes what they're going to say. Oh, now, I really want Effie to understand this point, so I am going to say it this way. By the time it gets to Effie, she says, oh, it's only Alan again. I'm going to decode it into what I think he's trying to say. And so we have the problem of encoding and decoding because of who we are and our experiences in life. That can be a horrible little scenario, can't it? If you encode or decode incorrectly, you're going to end up with a horrible mess. And I've seen too many instances over my very short lifetime where people have got it absolutely wrong because they have decoded incorrectly or encoded believing that the other person's on the same page. There must be a channel. Right now, you can hear my voice, you can see me, you can see the PowerPoint up top. There is a channel that is occupying the message. And that can be very, very different for a whole bunch of reasons. But if you only use one message, we're in trouble. Have a look at the way God interacts with each and every one of us. Does he engage with you the same way he engages with everyone else? Or does he actually speak directly to you and your gifting, your personality, your character, your upbringing, your development, your future, your gifting? God considers all of those things. And I find it absolutely amazing that God will communicate what he wants to no matter what. We're well aware of all this noise. The noise can be what we're thinking about what we're going to do. It can be thinking about what we did do. It can be thinking about what we didn't do. It can be what we should have done. It could be the traffic running past. It could be the fact that the Crows didn't play as they should have yesterday. That's faith. You know, we carry a lot of noise in our persona about, and it's all interference. And if we don't take time to quieten our spirit, that noise will just invade us. Be still and know that I am God. And all of that noise, with all of its innuendos and meanings, eventually when the person receives it, when the receiver receives the message, then there's a bit of feedback. And then the whole process is reversed because the receiver now encodes the message they want to send out and the original sender decodes. And unless you're on the same page, God forbid, That's why we have so many communication issues in this world. And when you wrap all that up together, there's the context. Is it a peaceful setting like today? Is it a polemic situation like you have between Israel and the Arab nations? Is it Trump versus the non-Trumpers? Is it? The context makes a massive difference. And so you can see that if we're trying to sort it out at a purely rational basis, we are in serious trouble. But it gives us an indication, an inkling of what on earth can go wrong. And therefore, we need to be in tune with God and His Spirit to clear the way forward so that the miscommunication is virtually eliminated. Let me catch up because I've completely gone off. Okay. As I mentioned before, God has absolutely no problems communicating. He's been communicating ever since the Garden of Eden. And he's been communicating to boys and girls, males and females, Gentiles and Jews. It doesn't matter to him. He will find a way to communicate. And no matter who you are or no matter what your experience is, he will find a way to communicate with you. All we have to do is listen. But how do we listen? How do we listen? I've got a few examples shortly, but people here, how do you listen to God? How does God's Holy Spirit actually engage with you? Any actual responses? It's not a hypothetical question, it's a real question. How does God speak to you? Any thoughts, any responses?
Through reading His Word.
Reading His Word, absolutely. Any other ways? Dreams. Young people shall have dreams and visions. Well done, youngster. Anyone else?
Maybe when I've talked to God about it. When I've been talking to God about a situation and a thought just won't go out of my mind. And sometimes it's meaning I actually have to do some changing or do something. That's called conviction in the old Christian terms.
Good on you. But Dawn, that's very well said, but there's a big difference between conviction and condemnation, isn't it? The devil condemns, God convicts. He says, hey, you could have done this. Others.
Stopping.
Wow. Stopping, that's radical. Just stopping. Thanks, Paul. A book, a movie, yeah. If your antenna's up, almost anything is available. How about you youngsters? Has God stopped talking to youngsters? How does He talk to you? How do you sense Him in your presence?
Through other people.
Well done. Through other people. Awesome. Any other thoughts? Okay. Plenty good. So we've got a great cross-section of how God speaks to us. Next one, please, Jeremiah, if it comes up. Okay. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So that presumes or indicates that God is always listening, always listening. No matter what we ask, He is always listening. But we sometimes misread the answer, and someone said it so beautifully a little while back. There's only three answers that God gives: yes, no, or not yet. And so we have to stay in tune with God's Holy Spirit, listen to what He's saying, listen to the activity that's going on around us, listen to the confirmation by other people about what's going on, and that will show us whether it's yes, no, or not yet. I love the principle of Gideon laying out the fleece. You know, a couple of people over the years have said to me, oh, look, I laid out my fleece and my best friend, who's aware of the situation, came and told me this is what I should do. That is not laying out the fleece. When you lay out the fleece is incapable of understanding your problem. When you lay out the Jew that surrounds the fleece is incapable of understanding your problem. If a friend simply comes to you who's aware of the situation and tells you what you want to hear, that's not necessarily God speaking. It's just a friend wanting the best for you. When you lay out the fleece so that it's out of your control, out of people who know your situation, and it's just between you and God, and that will be incredibly honouring. I want to share a few instances about when God spoke to me and what the results were. Oops, sorry. Hang on, I think I've got one more. Okay. Listening to the Holy Spirit has to do with understanding God's way and the story he's painting about and for you. We can only answer the question, what am I to do, if we can answer a necessary earlier question. What is the story or stories that I find myself a part of? Youngsters, what's the story or stories that you're a part of? See, you're not here by accident that in 2020-21 you suddenly emerge and there's things for you to do. There was a history that went before you, and there was a history that went before them, and there was a history that went before them, and there was a history, and there was a history. And we see God in action, and we see God in action on the Lefevre Peninsula. We see him... Bill Osborne, when he first started in the early 90s, he started working with the indigenous kids of the area. And that was the beginning of the Lefevre Youth Kids. And then people like Ron and Rod came along. Antoinette was part of the teaching of the kids. And they developed a story that is being carried into what we have today. And that is youngsters being developed to be the next generation to influence not only their generation, but the next generation as well. I find it just amazing that when we get our context right, as you remember that big drawing about the context, as we get our context right, it starts to make sense. Okay, I don't just find myself on the peninsula by accident. This God's story that goes before that for a long, long time. And then the question is, what is his story going to continue and be like? There are two key elements needed to listen well. And that is to know God's word, as we heard earlier, and to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Know how he speaks to you. It shouldn't be a guess. If you're not sure, ask someone. Rather than, oh, yeah, I think he told me to do something a couple of years ago, but I haven't done anything. No, no, no. If you get a thought or an idea, go to someone. God is speaking. It's up to us to listen. I want to tell you three of my testimonies, and some of them you've heard, some you haven't. But for some of the newer members, it may be something new. When we started searching about moving to St. George's, we lived in Paradise, and we moved to St. George's on the eastern side of town when the kids went to Sunrise Christian School, we thought, well, we've got to move house. We can't just stay at Paradise, and the kids are now going to Sunrise Christian School, and we need a house in the area. So we hunted high and low, and eventually a little house came up in Burnside area, and it was... okay, it was small, but we saw potential. So I called my brother, who's a real estate agent. I called my father, who was a carpenter building the Queen Elizabeth Hospital before he was invalided out. And we had a look at it, and they all said, it's a bit small, but yeah, it's got potential. Effie and I went home that night, and we prayed. We said, God, if this is the house that you want us to have, show us. If not, then close the door, please. I wake up the next morning and I said to Effie, honey, guess what? I had a dream. And she laughed. I don't remember my dreams. I do not remember my dreams. And I said to her, we looked at everywhere, all around the house, but in the very back right-hand corner, the back wall was covered by ivy. But God showed me there was a massive crack that went from the top left to the bottom right. So I said, we better go and check it out. Well, we went there and guess what? Top left to bottom right, there was a massive crack that was covered by ivy. So God clearly, clearly shut the door. But he wasn't done, because after he shut that door and we wanted to move in the area still, he used a lovely Christian man who offered us his house at not retail prices, at wholesale prices, and he funded the loan, and it was just amazing. But to make that happen, God said to us when I left customs in 1996, we survived for a little while on a little bit I had, and in the year 2000, God said, zero all your accounts. I said, there's not much there, God. He said, zero them. And so we did. We had zero. And that's how we started our ministry, with zero. But we started it with God. And with God, 20 years later, we managed to have two rental properties that we had to sell and make a big loss of. But it enabled us to live all that while until I retired last year. And when we got the final package summary of everything else, we were able to pay off the loans that we had. So we started off with nothing. Guess what? We ended up with a house. And God enabled it. So God called us to zero our account, and he looked after us for 20 years. And I say, God, you couldn't have done it. And if that's not enough, between Effie and myself, we've had 10 overseas trips that we haven't paid for. Not one. I think, how could we do it? And yet God, through other people, through opportunities, opened these doors, and we haven't wanted for one single solitary thing in the 20 years of ministry, because God said, do this. And we were silly enough to obey. We thought we were silly. God, what do you mean? Start with nothing. No, no, no. Worldly wisdom says, start with something behind you, so if anything goes wrong, you've got something to fall back on. God said, start with zero. So we started with zero. And we ended up having a lovely freehold house. Only God could orchestrate all that stuff. Only God. And I have shared this story before, but many years ago, when a female pastor that I used to visit regularly was dying of cancer. I used to visit her at Ashford often, and she would be in and out of hospital having treatment and blood transfusions and all the rest of it. And I visited her one day in Ashford, and she said, you won't have to come and visit me any longer. I'm being sent home. I said, oh, that's good news. She said, well, maybe, not really. They can't do any more for me, so they're going to send me home to die. I thought, wow. So, you know, we prayed for her, I prayed for her. Went home, told Effie the story, and a few days later, I said to Effie, this thought will not let me go. And the thought was, this sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God might be made manifest. I said, yeah, thanks God. She's been sent home to die, and you're telling me this. So I ignored it. And it got stronger and stronger and stronger. And eventually I said to Effie, I have to go and tell her. I have to. So we both went. We knocked on her door, living out at Panorama. She said, come in. We went in and she said, do you want a cup of coffee? I said, I'd love a cup of coffee. I needed anything just to stall a little bit. She said, make me one too, please, because I haven't got the strength to get up. So we made her a cup of coffee. We had bit of a chat, And then I said, Pamela, I don't know what's going on, but God will not let me alone with this verse. This sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God might be made manifest. And she said, that'll be bleep, bleep, right. He wants me to get my life together before he takes me. We laughed. 8 years later, she was restored with her husband. They moved to Queensland, and another cancer got her. But she went 8 years from being sent home to die with a few days. How do you listen to God? What is your response when God says something? Is it hoping that he got it wrong? Hoping that he's chosen the wrong person? Hoping that he's going to find someone else to do something? His ear is always inclined to us, and all he wants us to do is incline our ear to him. And he will tell us what to do. He will tell us whether to go left or go right or go straight, whether to stop or whether to go, whether. God can be trusted. That's not just my testimony, our testimony, but it's a lot of people's testimony. He can be trusted. Let's listen to him actively, completely. Now, I encourage you, just develop that sense of listenability. Think about that horrible drawing about what can go wrong in communication, and take responsibility for making sure that the communication is clear. If you're not sure, if you're the receiver, check. Say, hey, is this what you meant? I've got a mixed message. I'm not sure. Is this what you meant? No. Look, this is what I meant. Oh, okay, thank you. We can get so much wrong when we have the wrong attitude or the wrong motivation or something like that. Let's clarify. Let's be aware of what can go wrong, and let's work on fixing it. My lovely wife, proving that she's not just a little doormat, sent me a clip last night, and it's a beautiful one that I've transposed into this. Be silent. Be silent. That's the only way to hear God. Sometimes in crisis, he will talk. Not sometimes, he often talks in crisis, but routinely, it's in the silence. Be silent before him. Go into your room and shut the door. That's what Scripture says. Block out the noise. And then the second part of it, and listen. And the little clip said, isn't it funny how silent and listen have the same letters in them? Let's pray. Father God, still our hearts. When we take on the troubles of the world, when we take on confusion, when we take on miscommunication, when we take on even not being able to hear you, Lord, may your Holy Spirit just break through. Once in the Old Testament, you were given the title Baal Perazim, God of the breakthrough, the break with or break from. And Father God, we want to break from our own understanding. We want to break from the shackles that would bind us. We want to be free to listen to you and to respond to you. We want to be free to listen to a person's heart. We want to be free to listen to you, to guide us to a person who has a problem. Father God, teach us how to listen the way you would listen. Teach us how to speak the way you would speak. Teach us how to behave the way you would behave. Open our eyes, Lord, to what you see, and not just what we see, not just the manifestation, but what you truly, truly see. Father God, in the next few seconds, I just ask your Holy Spirit to minister to each and every one of us in some particular way, in a way that would just bring to recollection, bring to mind one situation, one person that we could minister to. So, Father God, have your way. Holy Spirit, reveal that person to us. And may it be that next week when we gather together, there will be testimonies of how people responded and how God guided them and the result. Oh God, speak to us, we pray. Speak to us, we pray. Make us receptive to your Holy Spirit, to your words and your ways and your will, that we may truly be aligned with you. All of this, Lord, we ask in Jesus' precious name. And in the next half a minute, you don't need long, next half a minute, Holy Spirit, just reveal someone to each and every person that they may be able to contact this week and touch base and encourage them to hear their heart and respond as you would respond. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just sit for half a minute or so and just wait upon the Holy Spirit to give you one name, just one name.